Ramsey TV.
You're in for a real treat today. As you can see, we have our fellow believer, fellow member of the body of Christ here, Cherie Morris. You saw her yesterday. I turned the camera on her and she wasn't all too pleased about it. I want to talk to her today. I'm going to give you a little preview for tomorrow. As we talk about this today, about the Nephilim. I got a message for you tomorrow called Nephilim and the Body of Christ. I see a similarity of how Satan worked back in the old days and how he works today to combat the truth. So you have that to look forward to tomorrow. But right now, you have to look forward to, I'm going to give her the third degree. I'm going to grill her about her walk, because I know you folks out there, you're very lonely. That's the complaint I hear all the time. People are just alone in this, and they love it when people come down here to visit me. I'm not bragging about this, but I think that I know more members of the body of Christ than any other member of the body of Christ knows other members of the body of Christ. You following me?
Yeah, I think so.
And so I'm connected. In other words, I'm connected. I have more connections. And so anytime I have someone come down to visit me, like Cherie has come down to Florida, for one thing, to get away. She just using me as an excuse to get away from Maine. It was 2 degrees below zero 5 days ago. So, you know, people use me, I think, now. People are starting to use me. Martin, I want to come down and see you. Oh, what do you know? It's February. That's interesting. You want to come down and see me, do you? Just kidding. I know you're as sincere as can be. Now, Cherie.
Yeah.
You mind if I smoke during an interview? I'm not going to do that. What's the matter with me?
I'm not a smoker.
That's good.
No.
I'm not either. That's just a hobby. It's not a habit. That's what I like to think. Now, you were raised, as most of us were, in mainstream Orthodox religion, right?
Yes. Baptist.
What was it?
Baptist. Yeah.
Were you one of those, like, freako Baptists, or... I hope I didn't offend any freako Baptists out there. Like, how hardcore was your Baptist denomination?
Oh, it was, you know, when the church was open, you'd be in church.
How often was the church open?
Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, and sometimes there was Thursday visitation. Go visit people.
Oh, yeah? Who? What kind of people did you visit?
I don't know. I didn't do that. That was more adults.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we all just go to the church that our parents want us to go to.
Right.
What they're into,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, were they into it, or did they just go because
they thought they were
doing their duty for God?
They were into it.
They were?
Yeah, definitely.
What about you when you were a kid? Were you into it?
I was into it.
Really?
Yeah. I love church.
You did?
I did.
I'm sorry. I'm going to walk away from this interview. I had no idea that you really loved church. I'm going to light a cigarette. This is horrible. No.
I need a drink.
No, I'm here for a testimony. I want to hear the truth. So this is good. Somehow you went from loving church to being down here visiting a heretic.
Yes.
Like me. So let's trace your journey if we could.
Okay.
All right. So you were in the Baptist church growing up, and you were involved. In what way were you involved? Did you volunteer for things? Did you lead other people astray? What did you do?
I only went there from birth to, like, my first year of college.
Only from birth to the first year of college?
Yeah. Then I denounced the Baptist faith.
You denounced it?
I denounced it.
Okay.
I'm like,
what I want to know is, I want the processes that led to your denouncing. That's a very strong word you're using.
I know.
You didn't just quit. You denounced.
I did.
I need to know how that came about.
Because my first year of college...
Yes.
I went to Grand Rapids Baptist College.
You did?
Yes.
Grand Rapids Baptist College?
Yes.
You were still totally into it then, obviously.
Well, I was kind of afraid of going away on my own with nobody I knew. So I thought, well, if I stick with my same religion, you know, we'll have that in common and it'd be safe.
Did you want to work in the church? I mean, did you want to have a job in the church, or did you want to become a pastorette?
No.
No?
I went there for psychology. I took a lot of psychology classes, actually, and I also thought about being a DJ.
A DJ?
You know, like, yeah.
You go to a Baptist college to learn how to be a DJ?
Yeah. They have, you know, a radio station on campus.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's true. So I was going to do it.
Tell me, when did that thing happen that made you realize that your whole life you were dedicated to something that was off? That's what I want to hear.
Well, every Sunday they had a million buses. You could go to any Baptist church you wanted to. And then I had a roommate that was a couple of years older than me, and she had a car, and she took me to this non-denominational church.
Ah.
And I really got into that, but and that is how some of the truths that, I mean, some of the things that I heard,
yeah,
I'm like, well, for one thing about grace, what grace is, and I'm like, I've been going to church all my life and I never heard that.
They maybe used a word, maybe they didn't,
yeah,
but they didn't know what it meant.
Yeah, so, and there was other things that I said to myself, well, if that's not true and this isn't true, then maybe some of the other stuff that I was taught growing up isn't true. So that's how, I mean, I do remember when I was a teenager, I was questioning everything.
It doesn't surprise
me.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, you know, when you find out there's no Santa Claus, then you start to wonder about the Easter Bunny.
Yeah.
Like, there's no Santa Claus? Okay, so what about the Easter Bunny? What about the Tooth Fairy? So once you start asking questions and you find out, or once you went to that non-denominational church, but you didn't realize one visit to a non-denominational church made you question everything you'd ever heard in the Baptist church?
Mm-hmm.
All right, I need to ask you, this may be a personal question. You don't have to answer
it.
I know, you should be scared. What I need to ask you is, what did your parents think when you were starting to go off the reservation? And was it a gradual off the reservation? You used the word denounce.
No, it was that I came back from college and I went to church one time with my mom, and the first words out of the guy's mouth, I mean, it was really like his opinions, you know.
The first word out of whose mouth?
The pastor.
When you went back to the Baptist
church?
When
I went back.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah.
And some of it is about music. I mean, the stupidest things that they argue about and say what's wrong and what's right. And it's just, I couldn't take it. I'm like, you don't even know what a true worshiper is. A true worshiper is someone that God's seeking, who worships in spirit and in truth. I'm like, I don't know. And both of those things are very important, you know?
Yeah, they are. But and their idea of worship is, we're going to get the best band, we're going to get the best musicians, and what kind of songs you guys want to play.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
Yeah.
So you must have, I mean, it was, how long did you go to that non-denominational, and then you went to college, you came back, and then you must have been deprogrammed during your absence, so that when you came back, the same things you were hearing before all of a sudden sounded foreign to you.
Exactly, right? And I said, I had to leave. I didn't even stay, because, you know, first they have Sunday school, then they have regular church, and I couldn't stay. I had to go.
You left in the middle of the
service? I left.
Wow.
I had to go. I told my mom I can't take it.
What did your mom say?
I gotta go.
I feel like Jerry Springer. What did your mom say? And we have your mother right here. Well, here's your mother right here. Come on in.
My mom was fine.
She was?
Yeah.
Wasn't she a hardcore Baptist?
She was.
Then how could she be fine with her kid leaving? Because
I don't know what to tell you. She didn't have a problem, because she knew that I believe that, you know, Christ died for my sins and all that noise.
Noise. But did you really believe that?
I did. I really did.
Okay, so this is good, because this comes into a study, as you know, I've been doing. Since you watch my show every day, you know that I'm doing a series on 1 Corinthians 15. So you're telling me that when you were in the Baptist church and you heard them say Christ died for your sins, you understood what that meant.
Did you
believe in
free? But I did.
What am I asking you? You did what? Go ahead. I don't want
to interrupt. I did believe. I just didn't completely understand the full extent of what
did
grace
you believe
was.
In human free will at the same time? Be honest with us.
No.
Be honest.
No.
Did you believe in human free will?
No. Back it up. Back it up. No. I that's where it went better. Got better.
Wow. You must have had, I'm telling you, I mean, I'm not trying to butter you up or anything, but you must have had a spiritual instinct.
Yeah.
That transcended all the BS you were hearing at the Baptist church.
I mean, even after my college years and still going to other, you know, I was on a search. I'm like, where is there a church that, you know, preaches the truth and all that? And I never found it.
Well, what about the non-denominational?
I thought it was, but I do remember still having a lot of questions, you know.
You seem like a troublemaker. Did you ask any questions?
I did. I did a lot. Like the last church that I was going to Actually was it was a Wesleyan church.
Oh, okay.
And I remember asking my dad, what's a Wesleyan church? What do they believe in? Oh, little Baptist, little Methodist thrown together or something. But when I was going there, I was very close to the pastor that I had. We had a lot of talks. And
oh, really? You grilled him?
Yeah. And other pastors before that guy that was there. And they were trying to say, then I found out that they believe that you could lose your salvation if you sin and don't ask for forgiveness.
Ouch.
So I'm like, that's not right.
No, that ran against your
spirit. I mean, that was like really, really not good.
Yeah, well, the Spirit of God was in you, but it took going to that non-denominational mm-hmm. church mm-hmm. to just kick it over.
Yeah.
So your parents were good with it. So now in this in this stage of your walk, you're on your own. No, wait, you went to the Wesleyan.
Yeah.
And how was that different, though?
I was into it. I played drums on the worship team and all that. Yeah,
Show me your drumming form. Like, do a basic beat. Do it. Da, 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 da.
See? Do.
Wow.
Like that, see?
Oh, we got Ringo Starr over here. That's fantastic. You played drums on the worship team. Even though you... Okay, this bothers me.
I'm sorry.
Because you just said you knew that the worship songs, and it was all kind of fake worship. So it seems like you were, I don't mean to make you feel bad, but
no,
it seems like you were kind of participating in something that you knew
was
wrong.
Well, I felt like, at that time, I felt like things, like if sometimes I, you know, headed up the worship team, like I got to pick out the songs or whatever, but I really felt like I was seeking God during those times, and
okay,
I prayed and all that and read the Bible, whatever, and I felt like he was telling me, like, I'd go with kind of a theme, but it would just happen.
So it's not like you were still doing your own thing and doing that at the same time. You were in, if I can use this term, transition time. Transition?
Apparently, yes.
Apparently. Right. Apparently. With hindsight, you were in a transition.
Yeah.
All right. So you're in a transition. So when did you stop going to church altogether? And did you feel like a terrible person?
Well, you speak of transition. So the thing was, at the same time that stuff was going on in the church, I was also going through a divorce.
Oh, that's terrible.
So, yeah, it's terrible. So I ended up moving away from the area that I was at. And I don't know if I should tell this part.
Yeah, since you said you don't know if you should tell this part, I'm definitely going to make you tell this part. And now we're going to do a close-up, too.
No, go. Back it up.
Okay, go ahead.
You're making me
tell
hot.
Tell us. The body of Christ, we're intimates here. We want to hear about it.
The next transition that happened was I met this guy on POF.
Which is, for those of you who don't know, Plenty of Fish. It's a dating site.
Yes.
Okay, what happened then?
And he didn't have a picture of himself or anything like that. But he was because like my, profile was, you know, mentioned stuff about God and that's what I was interested in or whatever.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so anyways, I was talking to him and I guess he was intrigued. I don't know.
Was this Dennis Brown?
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, that's Dennis Brown.
Yeah, Dennis Brown.
Wow. Okay, so this, I know Dennis Brown. In fact, I did some of the a few shows of the Revelation series with him. When we visited Maine.
Yeah,
we both visited you
right.
in Maine, like, what,
right.
5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so you found him on Plenty of Fish.
Yeah.
Isn't that something? This reminds me of when our Lord told Peter to cast a hook in the water and bring up the first fish that came out. Fish.
Yeah.
First fish that came out. And inside the mouth of that fish was a coin
for
them both to pay the temple tax.
Yeah.
So you threw a hook into Plenty of Fish.
Yeah.
And you caught Dennis Brown, who happened to be another spiritual force. I mean, he was questioning everything.
He was.
Okay, what happened after that?
Well, he had a blog and he encouraged me to read it. And I did, but I didn't understand everything that he said because I felt like he had a different language. But then as I kept on talking to him, like, you know, like the sons of man, the sons of God, or daughters, and I don't know. It was just
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain it, but...
It was a deeper dive into scripture that you were ever used
to. Yeah, his the words that he used, but I did eventually figure it out. And we were emailing back and forth a lot, and I learned that he had a lot of the same background, you know, it wasn't Baptist, it was Wesleyan background, but same thing.
Oh.
And he went to a seminary college, and he was actually a pastor for 7 years. And he was just trying to tell me that everything that we were ever taught is all wrong, basically. And I'm like, and he discovered this at a theological seminary, you know.
How did that happen? How did he discover that at a theological seminary?
I don't know. You'll have to.
We'll have to get Dennis. We'll have to do
get his testimony.
We'll have to do a three-way call with Dennis and find out how he came to that realization.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm shocked that while you guys are in the church, well, maybe that's part of the whole contrast thing. You know, you're in the church, you're hearing something that clashes with the Spirit of God inside
yes.
of you.
Yes.
And it just amazes me that you put a hook into plenty of fish, a dating site. Up came Dennis Brown, who is a fellow, you know, now fellow member of the body of Christ. And then he just introduced you to, like I say, deeper aspects of Scripture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He. When I read his blog, I emailed him back and I said, "Are you saying to me that you don't believe in eternal hell?" I couldn't believe it. I really couldn't. But then he kept talking to me and talking me down, and because this is just what I was taught.
Of course.
You know what I mean? A long time, you know. I mean, if there's a heaven, there has to be a hell. I just felt like, you know, there has to be that dual thing.
Yeah.
You know, opposites.
Yeah. Right, opposites.
Right?
Yes.
So, I didn't want to believe that there was a hell, though. I'm like, how? It doesn't make any sense to me, though. I didn't want to believe it, but it was ingrained in me. That's all I'm going to tell you. And then I remember him... it was like a couple of months where we were emailing back and forth, and
you were fighting him.
I was just the, like, everything that a Baptist or whatever would say back, you know, to you, you know, like, well, if there's a heaven, there's got to be a hell. What are we getting saved from? I'd say, you know,
yeah, classic question,
you know, so,
and apparently he had answers.
He did.
Don't you hate it when people have
no, it's fine.
Well, again, you had that current of the true Spirit of God operating in you, but it was your training and your, you know, that standard Christian upbringing that made you ask those questions. But deep down, you're one of the rare people who has the Spirit of God in you that you hoped it was not true.
Yeah.
And you heard enough facts, I'm guessing, tell me if I'm wrong, from him, enough scriptures.
Well, the clincher was, I can't remember exactly what led up to it. You know, well, one thing was... there not being a hell, but a literal one. But I mean, like, if you want to ask me if I've been having hell on earth, I believe in that.
Yeah.
Just saying. But...
You getting some of the drumming back there?
Yeah. But anyways, I don't know how he did it, but the thing that...
I want to know how he did it, but go ahead.
But the clincher is,
what's the clincher?
On my own, I said, well, if that's true, then that means... there's no free will.
See, that
came out of my mouth.
That's because you have the Spirit of God in you, and you're logical. You're a logical person.
Yeah.
You're
well,
a no BS person.
Well, he helped me lead it. He's like, exactly, you know, like, now you're getting it, kid.
Now you're getting it, kid. He gently led you through the
he
whole
did.
Process.
Yeah.
As far as the eternal torment, was there one verse that he gave you that just like, wow, you said, where's that verse been in the Bible the whole time, you know? Something that you didn't...
No.
Did you think of one thing? No.
No. What I think about is the different names for hell, you know. Hades. What's the other one that begins with G?
You tell me.
Gehenna.
Good job.
There's
one more.
There's another one.
Hades, Gehenna, and it starts with a T, and you put it on your fish. Tartar sauce. Tartarus. That's the other
I never would have remembered that one, sorry.
That's why I'm here.
I'm sorry.
That's why I'm here.
I'm sorry.
So you got established with Dennis and you got plugged into a depth of God that you didn't know existed. Then what happened?
Well, the other thing that he that really made sense to me was, you know, you love your kids. Would you send your kids to hell?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
And your answer was yes, right?
And he's like, well, God loves more than you do, so it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, that clinched it for you.
Well, yeah.
That's a legitimate point.
Yeah.
It's a legitimate point.
I know. He made a lot of good points, really.
He must have.
He did.
But you had that logic.
He did.
You have that logic bent that responded to it.
So it was around that time when he introduced me to actually you.
That was your lucky day.
And said, you got to read this book. You got to watch this video, da, da, da.
And so you did.
I did.
I'm just curious. What book? Do you remember what book he recommended to you?
Yeah, The First Idiot in Heaven.
Oh, The First Idiot in Heaven was in print at that time.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I even got my dad to read it, too.
You did?
Yeah, but he didn't get it, apparently.
Wow. I mean, that is an amazing thing because the sun does different thing to wax than it does to clay. It softens wax and hardens clay. So the same book, same words, same spirit. Mm-hmm. You read it, and boom, right? Did it hit? It hit you, right? What do you mean? Tell me how great the book was, Sheree. Tell me. Like,
I didn't really get it.
We interrupt this interview to bring you a commercial. We're going to a commercial break now.
I mean, Dennis already did a good job. I'm sorry.
Oh, of explaining it.
Yeah,
right. Okay.
Of explaining it. So, all right. Yeah.
Was there a particular video that saved me here? Was there a video?
There was lots of videos on the crack of dawn. I like the video where you have like a magnet on the refrigerator and you're
the
99.99%.
Yeah.
That one. That was a good one.
And then.
That made sense.
I'll take the story from here if you don't mind.
Okay.
Then, we're at 21 minutes already. This is flying by. I'm having fun. You're a great interview.
Thanks.
You're a great interview.
I forgot to tell you that.
You're alive. You're full of life.
Oh, one more thing. That's when I stopped going to church after I met you.
Yes.
That was like 6 years ago.
Yes.
I just quit it cold turkey.
Yes. I'm glad I was the thing that kicked you over.
Yeah, you are.
I will get a wreath of righteousness for that. That makes me
now
happy.
Now do I get more points?
Yeah, you get more points. You just made up for not understanding the first idiot in heaven.
I'm just sorry. Made
up for that. That's all right. That's all right. And then what happened next was I had gone through a tough emotional experience that had to do with the D word.
Yeah.
And I had written about it in my newsletter. And then you, having gone through the D word yourself,
yeah.
I'll tell you what, when I had that experience, so many people wrote me and just like, Martin, we feel terrible.
Yeah.
How can we help you? And people just came out of the woodwork. I actually got more subscribers during that time than I ever had because of that trial that I went through. I mean, you wrote me a very sweet letter. I think Dennis told you I was going through something, and you emailed me.
Yeah.
And you wrote a very nice letter, and I was living at Clyde Pilkington's at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, well, I'd like to come visit.
Mm-hmm.
And you did.
Yeah.
And that's when I met you at Clyde's, and we loved having you over there. We had a good time.
I did. I was really looking for some fellowship, so.
Everybody out here is looking for fellowship.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you flew down here 1,000 miles for fellowship.
I know.
Huh?
People
came to Pennsylvania from all over for fellowship.
I know. That's what was fun there because I met so many different people in and out.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, many people in and out.
Only in 1 week.
Yeah, I'm telling you, we should have had a revolving door at the Pilkingtons.
I
will say this, the Pilkingtons are such generous, hospitable spirits that they entertained many people there, and many people came there again to find fellowship because we're so few and far between.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Well, Sheree, you've been a great interview.
Thank you.
Vibrant. The Spirit of God obviously is in you. You're happy, and you're living up there in Maine. How much fellowship do you have in Maine, Sheree?
None.
Yeah. How cold is it in Maine, Sheree?
It's cold. Maybe 26 degrees.
How many moose are
today?
There in Maine, Sheree? How many
I don't know. I've only seen two.
You've only seen two moose?
In real life, yeah.
Wow. Well,
they're up north. I don't go
what
there.
What is further
it's
up
cold.
North? Oh, northern
cold.
Maine.
Yeah.
You live near Bangor?
Yes.
Okay, we won't give away your actual...
No, don't.
No, we won't. People will be beating a path to your door, right? Everybody's
going
to want to...
That might
be
a good thing, actually.
Everybody's going to want...
Then I'd have some fellowship.
Fellowship, yeah. Yeah. If anybody wants to... you want to give contact information, it's up to you. If people want to write Cherie and say hello, it's up to you.
Well, they can contact you, right? First?
You'll have to pay me to be the middleman.
Oh, that's fine.
Okay. If you want to get in touch with Cherie, write me. Drop me a line through my website, and then I will get you in contact with this beautiful lady who is filled with the Spirit of God and is a believer. Thanks for talking to the Body of Christ today.
Thank you.
Thanks for talking to me. I've enjoyed your visit. We have a couple more days of fellowship, which is great. So, just to our fellow members of the Body of Christ, all is not lost. There are believers in this world. They're few and far between. But whenever they show up here, I will share them with you. Peace out for now. A little postscript here. I talked Cherie into giving out her email address, so you can email her directly if you want to fellowship with her. She would love it. I'm going to put her email address down here. It's MissCherieMcGee@gmail.com. There's the address down there, and she would love to hear from you. We all need fellowship, because there's just not enough of it in this evil eon.